please pray for me tonight. Lord, just bless us with liberty to be able to speak in a way that would glorify Him. Appreciate the sweet prayer. Thank God for it. I enjoyed the song service so very much. Seems like the hymns that were selected were especially led of the Lord tonight. And I'm thankful that we believe in the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Lord in our lives. We come in a worship service. We come looking to the Lord to supply the direction that we ought to go and the way of looking at instructing God's people. And I certainly feel a great need of His guidance and direction tonight. Without Him, we won't have anything. And with Him, we'll have all that we need. I'm thankful for that. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you tonight from the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel. The passage that's on my mind, I'll probably read all of it, is the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12, we begin right at verse 1. Samuel here is addressing the people of God, the children of Israel. They have, Saul has been made king at the request of the people. The Lord suffered Saul to be made king, and Samuel, who was a judge and was in a place of governing the people, has anointed Saul at the request of the people, and also the Lord had chosen Saul and anointed Saul and pointed Saul out. The people had asked for a king, and the Lord had seen fit to give him a king, even though He had told them that's not what they needed and had directed them otherwise. And they had been taught what a bad king Saul would be. They said, "We still want a king because all the nations of the world have a king. We want a king like everybody else." Dangerous place for God's children to get to. Sometimes we look around at others and we kind of want to be like them and want to be more like them. God's children are not to be like the world. We're called to be different from the world. We're called out of the world. And when we, as the Lord's people, want to be more like other people and more like the world, look more like the world, act more like the world, we get ourselves in a mess. And the children of God had gotten themselves in a mess. Let me read the passage and then we'll start talking. Lord willing. It says, "And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye have said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before His anointed. Whose ox have I taken, and whose ass have I taken? And whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, "Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." And he said unto them, "The Lord is witness against you, and His anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." Now, what Samuel is doing right here is instructing the children of Israel that as a judge, as he stood before the Lord and answered to the Lord as a judge over Israel, that he had been faithful in that calling. That the reason that they had chosen a king wasn't because Samuel, and they said that out of their own mouth in their own testimony, wasn't because Samuel had been not a good judge. Now, there were some questions about Samuel's sons, which he had pointed as judges in his place, that they were not as Samuel was. The scripture says that. Because the people didn't want them, they decided, we'll just go another whole way. Because men were not doing what the Lord would have them to do, other men decided, well, we don't think God's way is working, so we'll just go another way. And rather than have this judge system, we want a king. Well, everybody else has a king. All the nations around the world have a king, so we would have a king. What Samuel is saying to them here is that there wasn't anything that he had done, and he brought them into an acknowledgement of that, that there wasn't anything that he had done that caused him to be removed. And not that he's trying to justify himself, but he wanted them to understand they had committed a great sin against the Lord. And that's not pleasant for them to hear, because For one thing, they were at a real party. If you read over in the 11th chapter, you'll see that they had just won a great battle. Saul, their king that they had chosen, had been victorious over Nahash, an interesting name. Nahash and the Ammonites had come up against Israel, and they were attacking a portion of Israel, and the Lord had blessed Saul in this occasion to be come, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and he heard the tidings of that king, and he came, and they won the battle. And it appears that God's stamp of approval was upon the king. And yet Samuel was coming with another message. You know, sometimes ministers are called to bring us a message that sometimes we'd rather hear the other message. Sometimes we want to hear this when we need to hear that. Sometimes we want someone to come in and tell us all the good things, especially when we feel like things are going pretty good. We don't want anybody to come in and mess up our good time or come in and tell us something that we needed to hear. That we really need to hear but don't want to hear. Here Samuel is saying, listen, I have been faithful. I have been a faithful witness. As the Lord is witness, I'm not. And there's a lot of things he did that were good. He said, whose ox? He said, I've not taken an ox. I've not taken the donkeys. I have not defrauded. I have not oppressed. As a judge, he had the authority to have been a bad judge, but he had not been that. And he said, I've not received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith. Wouldn't it be good if we had politicians that operated by that principle? In this day and age, we know that, you know, and really that's been the truth down through history. That many men, and here's the interesting thing, is that when King Saul, when they said, we want a king, the Lord said, we'll suffer you to have that king, but tell the people of Israel what kind of king Saul is going to be. And what he lays out for them about what Saul was going to be, I'll tell you what, you wouldn't want that man to rule over you. By the time they laid out all Saul was going to do, boy, he was going to oppress the people in so many ways, and he was going to feed him his own self and his own household. And rather than help the people, he was there to take from the people. He was there to oppress the people. And yet they said, we still want that king. It's kind of silly, isn't it, when we think about why somebody would either vote somebody in office that has been such a mess, and yet they keep right on voting the same mess right on in, complain about it all the time, but you just keep right on doing it. And how many times do we see that same thing happen in our lives even today? And there, this is nothing new. We see it right here. And yet the people, because it seemed like he'd been successful, all of a sudden, you know, oh, everything is wonderful. But Samuel was about to come by the authority of the Lord and tear their little playhouse down. And he just wanted them to understand the truth. Tonight I hope and pray that the Lord will just bless us to preach the truth. You know, that's one of the things that concerns me so much. See, I want to go among people, and I want them to be glad when I come and sad when I leave. I want them to be happy when I'm preaching to them. I want them to smile real, real pretty when I'm preaching. I want them to look like they're really feeding and eating off the Word of God. I want to make them happy in the Lord and in the truth of God's Word. But I also know that if I'm going to be faithful to the Word of God, there are going to be some times that the Lord's people will get lifted up and rejoice. There will be other times that they may get upset with me. As a matter of fact, we know this, that if we really are faithful to the truth, we will suffer persecution to some degree as a minister of the gospel, to some degree or another. Some have suffered great persecution, some comparatively a lot less. But every one of God's children that live godly in Christ Jesus, get this, will suffer persecution. The more faithful you are to the Word of God, the more faithful your life is to the Word of God, the more you try to stand for what's right, the more you will have the oppositional forces of this world opposed and against you. If they hated the Lord, they will hate those who had loved the Lord. And that's what Jesus taught. Now here Samuel was going to be faithful. All right, he's laid that out. He said, before the anointing, that's talking about King Saul, and before the Lord as a witness against you, he says, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Here's what he's doing. He's saying, I want you to think about who you are and why you're here in the land of Canaan. I want you to know how it is you got here. And he wasn't telling them something they didn't know. He's telling them something they knew, but evidently had forgotten. He wanted them to understand that Moses was not to be worshipped, nor Aaron was to be worshipped. But it was the Lord that had given them a Moses, and all how much they respected Moses. And Moses was due some respect in the sense that he was a humble man and a faithful man to the Lord, and was faithful as the Lord led him and gave him the law. But Moses is not to be worshipped. We're not here tonight to worship Moses, because there's a greater than Moses, and that's the Lord who made Moses who he was. And Aaron, though he was a blessing to Moses, there were times Aaron and Moses too, both acted in such an ungodly manner. That's why we don't worship Moses and Aaron. Though they were great men as the Lord moved them and used them, their ability and their strength came from the Lord. And what he's saying to them, if it had been just up to Moses and Aaron, you'd have never gotten out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord is the one that advanced Moses and Aaron. It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. And now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord. Now he's saying, I want you to stop a minute and listen. Do you ever had a good parent tell you, stand still and listen? Oh, and you need to stop and listen. I got something to say to you. And I know when mine said that, it was time to stop and listen. And if I didn't stop, they found a way to stop me. It was time to stand still and listen. And here, Samuel, blessed of the Lord, by the power of the Lord, told the children that were here enjoying this wonderful occasion of a great victory. The Ammonites had come and said, this is what we were going to have happen. This is what's going to happen to you. And the king that they had anointed, that they had chosen, that they had wanted, the Lord had given them just what they wanted. Listen, it was the Lord who made Saul king. You see, the Lord didn't leave the throne. He didn't turn it all over to man. Aren't you glad he hadn't turned it all over to man today? What a mess we'd be in if he just turned it all over. I heard a very prominent speaker, kind of guy that I like most of the time, didn't like him this time. He made a statement that the Lord, he believed, was all-knowing, but he wasn't all-powerful. That if he was all-powerful, then all the things in this world that are going wrong, it was as if all of that would be God's fault if he was all-powerful. Now listen, our God is not only all-knowing, he is all-powerful. And he's everywhere present, and he's nowhere absent. And there's with him he is light, and there's no darkness at all. And there was never a time that this situation was outside of the hand of God, outside of the power of God, outside of what God suffered those things to be. The scripture gives us that word and that term. And the children of Israel had disobeyed what God would have them to do. God suffered them to be, and they were about to suffer the consequences of that. And the good news here is that God, though we mess up so often, is still merciful. Tonight, is it good news to you that the Lord would bless wickedness? That he would not bless them into wickedness, but in spite of the wickedness, that he would still bless us? That in spite of the fact that I've messed up, there's still mercy and grace for the children of God? In spite of the fact that I've gone the wrong way, made the wrong choice, even knowingly made the wrong choice, that God will not give up on his people? Aren't you glad that we have a God that grabbed you rather than you grabbing him? Aren't you glad you have a God that chose you rather than you choosing him? Aren't you thankful tonight that it's you're his because of his choice of you rather than your choice of him? And though you mess up and can mess up again and again, he was chasing you in that. He will hold you accountable for that, but you will never utterly, completely fall away from him because he's got you and he won't let loose. You belong to him. And listen, because of that, you're his people. You can't live like everybody else. You can't act like everybody else. Or you can do it in a sense that you try to do it, but you won't be happy in it. You'll continue to find yourself like Israel was, being brought into the timely judgment of God, not the eternal judgment, but the timely judgment of God, to whereby they were brought back to be looking to the Lord and begging him for forgiveness as he teaches them here. Now, get this. Verse 7. He says, now therefore stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers.
When Jacob was come into Egypt and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron. How did Moses and Aaron come? The Lord sent them. And brought forth your fathers out of Egypt. How did they get out of Egypt? The Lord sent Moses and Aaron. And the Lord was the one who brought them out of Egypt. And made them dwell in this place. How did they get where they were? How did they get the blessings that they have? I ask you today, how many blessings do you and I have? How rich is your life? How wonderful has the Lord been to you? How is it that you've gotten these things? How is it that you, have you earned them? Have you merited them? Have you deserved them? Have you worked so hard that you've got everything you've got that you have because of what you've done? Or is it, as we know, as God's little children, is completely through and by His grace? I am what I am and I have what I have. And if we don't understand that, we need to learn. We need to understand something a lot better than we're in the dark about it. Listen, if you tonight think you've got what you have because you've merited it or earned it, then you're just absolutely mistaken. And if that upsets you, then so be it. I hope you understand. I know you understand, and I have confidence you believe that, but I want to say it. I want you to understand that we are what we are, all the good that we have, and the good that we've done, if we've done any, has been by the grace of God. And we have Him to thank for that. And He says, He's made them dwell in this place. And then verse 9, and when they forgot the Lord their God. Now who is it that forgot the Lord their God? Those who had the Lord as their God. Can God's little children forget the Lord their God? Listen, if He's the Lord their God and they forgot Him, can you and I forget Him? Do we forget Him some days? Do we sit down in meals sometimes and don't take and even sometimes say the words, but the words are far removed from our thoughts. And we don't really think about how good He's been to me. I'll tell you, you're missing blessings in your life if you're living your days not understanding this is a good day God's given me and blessed me with. And He's my Lord today, just like He was yesterday and the day before and will be forever. And today is the day the Lord has made, and I don't want to forget Him. I want to remember it is He who has brought me safe this far, and it's He who will lead me on. Like the writer of Amazing Grace said so ably in those wonderful words. It's grace. I'm led every day by His grace, and His grace is sufficient. Aren't you glad you got a God whose grace is sufficient? Aren't you thankful you have a Lord today whose mercy is everlasting? Aren't you glad you got a Lord that changes not? Our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Aren't you thankful we don't have a fickle God who loves you today and casts you into hell tomorrow? That's not our Lord. The Lord of the Bible is the one who loves everlasting. And He's the one who's called us. He's the one who's redeemed us. He's the one who's made us accepted in the Beloved. And it's to Him and for Him that we ought to be living our lives, that we might give Him the praise and the honor and the glory. And as we do that, you will find peace and rest even in the troubles that are going to sure to come in your life. He will keep who at perfect peace, did Isaiah say. Who's going to be in perfect peace? Those whose mind is stayed upon Him. That's why we don't want to forget Him. Because when I forget Him, I get scared. I get scared when that doctor's report comes and I think, oh man, what's going to come now? What? And listen, those are real things. And little problems, sometimes the big things, it seems to be easier to trust in the Lord because you don't have anywhere else to go. It's those little things sometimes that you have. And you go like, what am I going to do if this happens or that happens? Listen, you've got a God who deals in our daily activities and in our daily concerns. Things like getting up and down the highways and going about our daily activities. We need to remember the Lord in all our ways. We're to acknowledge Him. And what does the Bible say about that? He will what? He will direct our paths. Do you want your paths to be directed? Oh, listen, He's directing us all the time. It's just we're not standing still always, and sometimes we're not listening. Tonight, let's stand still and listen. Let's wait on Him. Let's look to Him. He doesn't slumber and He doesn't faint. I wish I could talk better. I'm doing the best I can. I had a little sister this morning that told me, she said, I enjoy coming to church. Here she is, because you talk so fast, I get 3 sermons in 1 sermon. I don't know whether that was a compliment or not. I thought, well, I hope you get one out of the, maybe I cover 3, but I hope you get one. And I want to slow down. I want to say these things the best I can say them. Yet I don't want to get so that I get so much in my own self that I forget who's guiding me and leading me and directing me. Because I know He knows what we need tonight. He was just simply telling them, the Lord's been good to you, Israel. He says, and they forgot the Lord their God, and He sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. How did they get in trouble? They forgot the Lord. I ask you, when do we get in trouble? When do we get in trouble? When I forget the Lord. When did the prodigal son get in trouble? When he left the father's house. He wasn't in trouble at home. He was in trouble when he left home. When you and I get outside of His fellowship, you won't get outside of His relationship. You will be His son or His daughter. But when you get outside of His fellowship, and you get away from His father's house, and all that is there for you, all of the leading and the direction and the instruction and the help and that is there for you, and the wonderful manifest presence of the Lord, I'll tell you, you get in trouble real quick. And these things came upon them as God's judgment. Listen, the Nebuchadnezzar didn't have the power to do what he did. The Lord lifted him up to be a judgment to the children of Israel. When Nebuchadnezzar thought he'd done it, the Lord showed him very clearly, and us, that it wasn't his power that did it. It was the Lord who lifted him up for that purpose. Even Pharaoh was lifted up that the Lord might show His power in him. As a result of God's judgment upon the children of Israel. Verse 10 says, and they cried unto the Lord, and He said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And you know, that's amazing that God's little children would serve idols, isn't it? It's amazing to think they'd leave the Lord and serve other things. And we think that couldn't possibly happen to us. And I hope and pray it doesn't happen to us in the sense we would bow down to any god or put up an idol. But yet, how many things do we often trust in more than the Lord? How many times do we get in trouble and we trust in this or trust in that? Or we feel like we have to have this. We do not do what He said. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, or the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That we are to put Him in the foremost and the very first place in our life. And sometimes we feel like we can't get along in this world if we don't have this or that or some other thing. And are we not in our own way putting up the little gods? There are gods many and lords many in this world. And what we need to be looking at in our own life, have I put up any of these little gods? Has my family, as much as I love them, become a little god to me? Or has my job, a blessing from the Lord, become a little god to me? Or has my money become a god to me? Or, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. And we see the effects of that in our lives. And you can't serve both God and mammon. The Bible tells us that. So riches can come in many forms. Some things that you don't have a problem with, that I have a problem with, and some things... you know what I'm saying. We can put up all kinds of things. What we want to see is that we're to put the Lord first. He's already first, but in my heart, I want Him to be I want Him to be first. I want to seek His face, His counsel, His direction above everything else. It says, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth, but now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Zerubbabel, and that's Gideon, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel. These were the judges, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwell safe. In other words, as long as they operated in God's economy, as long as they operated under the direction the Lord gave them, and they followed the judges... You know, what he's saying here is God's way always works. In the church, God's way is that which works. We don't want anything that isn't God's way. Sometimes we'll look at it and think we could update this, do a little better. But listen, if God's word doesn't authorize it, we're not to do it. Sometimes in our own lives we think, well, you know, what will this hurt or that hurt? Well, what will this? I know what God's word says about it, but listen, if you know what God's word says about it, that settles it, doesn't it? And sometimes it's not the stuff we don't know. That can hurt you too. What you don't know can hurt you. But it's the things we're in a society that would want us to compromise. Do you feel the pressure sometimes to compromise? Do you feel that constant pressure of the world trying to get you to conform and compromise? Just give in a little. You won't look so old-fashioned, so out of date. You'll be more in time with the step of the times. You need to undo all that old-timey thinking and step up and become a little renewed. Listen, the Bible very clearly tells us, little children of God, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does that mean? That means when I take this Bible and I live by it, and I guide my life with it, and I try to adjust my behavior according to it, and I try to do what it tells me to do, I will always fall short. But my goal is, and my desire ought to be, as much as I can, to keep my mind and thought upon the Lord and walk in a way that's pleasing unto Him, and let Him be in my meditation and in my thoughts and in my activities, and so that my heart is filled with fellowship in the Lord. And when I have that, I have sweet peace in this world. And when I get away from that, oh, it's like the little prodigal son. You're soon in a faraway place, aren't you? In a far country. And you feel like you've wasted everything. Even to the point sometimes you feel like, how can I come back now? Have you ever gotten so ashamed of what you've done, or so ashamed of what you thought, or so ashamed of your behavior that you wonder, can I even call back on His name? Can I cry out to Him? Listen, little child of grace, you belong to Him. There's no other place for you. And He will never utterly cast away one of His little children. So that's why we're to come and confess before the Lord, and come and cry out like that old publican did, who wouldn't so much as look up to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what will happen? God will be merciful and show you that He's already been merciful, but He'll show you His mercy, so that you'll feel that forgiveness that can only come from the Lord. And it says, and the Lord sent Zerubbabel and Bedad and Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwell safe. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. You know, what kind of king do we want? Listen. What kind of preacher do we want? We want the one the Lord sends, don't we? That's what we want. Because when a preacher is here as the Lord leads him, but when the preacher's gone, the Lord won't be gone. When a preacher's come and go. Preachers are born in this world and then they die. They're not always going to be here. So we're not here to worship a preacher or any preachers. We're here to worship the Lord. Now, the Lord is the one who gives us good preachers and the one who blesses good preachers. We ought to be thankful for them. But listen, we should never get to thinking that we got to have this one or that one, or put our trust in man. If we do that, well, we've done the very same thing that Israel did here. He's saying, nay, but a king shall reign over us, and the Lord your God was your king. Listen, we've got a king. I'm glad we don't have to find a king. We got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And who's the head of our church? Who's the head of the little assembly here at Happy Creek? Well, if we're true to the Lord, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then He's the head, isn't He? And how do we operate? The way our head tells us to. A good wife is submissive to her husband. That's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible teaches that the husband is to love his wife and be willing to give himself for her. That's not hard for that kind of husband to be submissive to that kind of husband. Listen, that's a husband who loves his wife and would be willing to give his life for her, and did give his life for her. Listen, the bride is to be submissive to the husband. Jesus Christ is our husband. We as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ have to follow in the ways that He has taught and keep His commandments. And as we do that, we'll find peace and rest and joy here in this world. He says, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. And then the Lord gives Israel a king. He says, now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And behold, the Lord has set a king over you. And if you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Found wonderful blessings found in being obedient to the Lord. Wonderful assurances comes in being obedient to the Lord. And also blessings of chastisement. Can chastisement be a blessing? Well, if you're messing up, I'm sure glad the Lord chastens us, aren't you? I'm glad He doesn't just let us go on our way. I'm glad He won't let us just run and go. I'm glad He corrects us. Listen, one of the greatest evidences the Lord loves you is He corrects you. You might do wrong, but you don't get away with it. You get corrected. And one of the greatest evidences the Lord loved Israel, and they were His people, is that He didn't let them live like everybody else. When they started went astray, they suffered because of that. They suffered in consequence of that. His judgment came upon them. And listen, God's little children today, we'll reap what we sow. The Bible says whatsoever a man sows, so shall he also reap. That if we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And I'm sure thankful we have a God who loves us enough that He chastens every son, every daughter. The Bible even says He scourges them. That means He'll correct you. You ever felt His correction? Listen, if you felt His correction, you're going to be with Him in heaven one day, forever and ever. One day He's going to come. He's going to take you out of this old troubled world. You're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You're going to meet the Lord in the air. There's going to be a shout that's heard, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead shall come forth, glorified. And those who are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll go meet the Lord in the air. And one of the greatest evidences you have that you're one of those is that He chastens you. He loves you enough to chasten you. You do something wrong, you can't sleep too well. You toss and you turn. He said that to these children. And then verse 16, He says something to them so they get to see. And sometimes the Lord just really shows us something in our life very clear and plain, directly. He does that for them here. In verse 16, He says, "Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes." It is about, He's about to show them that God was displeased with what they had done. Even though He blessed them and delivered them with Saul as their king from the hand of the Ammonites, because they were His people. Even though He'd done that, He was going to show them, Samuel was going to show them the evidence here that the Lord was displeased with them. And also the great power of the Lord. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and He shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, and asking you a king. In other words, He said, I'm about to show you that God's not pleased with that. You know, you look around our land and nation, you see evidences all over the place where God is not pleased with actions and behaviors of this nation. Yet so many times, even God's people in this nation are ignoring those things because we've compromised and we've become conformed to this world instead of having our eyes open to the judgments of God. At times we just kind of put them up as something else, don't we? I'm telling you, if our nation turns and goes in the wrong way, it will, like the other nations of this world, fall. It will not stand. And so we as God's little children need to be on our knees before the Lord, begging the Lord to forgive us and guide us and direct us. It doesn't matter how many of us agree that that's okay. It will not be okay if God says it. Whatever God has said is right, is going to be right, and what He says is wrong, is wrong. He doesn't change His mind, and He's not subject for our vote on the matter. He speaks, and it stands fast. And we ought to be saying, let God be true, and every man a liar. And I know I'm speaking in generalities tonight. We could get very specific on those things. And at times, that's probably necessary and needed. Things that we have gone astray in that are very clearly, plainly against the Word of God, we need to stand boldly and proclaim them and stand for them despite the cost. He says this here. He says, if you will fear, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before you. Is it not wheat harvest today? Now, the reason that's important is because if you read, I believe it's over in the book of Proverbs, if I can find that real quick, in the verse Proverbs, and this is something I just hadn't thought of a lot. I know I've read about the latter rain and the former rain, but the harvest and the time of harvest was not a time for rain. We know that from Proverbs 26, verse 1. It says, as snow in summer. Now, if it's in the summertime and starts snowing, you and I said something going wrong, don't we? As snow in summer and as rain in harvest. So the two are comparative. See that? As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. That means a fool is not going to have honor. And that's a wonderful proverb here. A man that's a fool is not going to receive honor. And when that happens, it's just as unlikely as snow being in the summer and just as unlikely as rain in the harvest. So this was the time of the harvest, time of the wheat harvest. So it wasn't supposed to rain. And Samuel said, the Lord's about to show y'all that this is a great wickedness that you have asked for a king and that you have a king because it's about to rain. Y'all believe the Lord can send the rain when He wants to and the snow when He wants to? Can the Lord send snow in the summer if He wants to? You better believe it. Can the Lord send rain when He wants to and hold the rain when He wants to? You better believe it. You know who's in control of that? The Lord. You know who's not in control of that? Man. That's plain, but that's true. And He's about to show them, look, Samuel wasn't in control of it, but Samuel was as the prophet of the Lord speaking as the Lord showed him what He was to say to them. He says, is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord and He shall send thunder and rain. They're about to see thunder and rain in a very unlikely season. It's the wheat harvest. And it says that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great. Now why are they going to see thunder and rain? A lot of men would have said, well, it's thunder and rain because you got this cold front coming right in here and it's coming down over here and that's going to run into this warm front and then you're going to have that condensation and you're going to have all that air molecules rubbing against each other and creating a whole lot of electrons that zap the earth and you get all this lightning and that's why you're going to have it. I'm going to tell you who does all that. That's the Lord. You know who controls cold fronts, warm fronts, and every other kind of front? That's the Lord. And when you get hail the size of softballs that fall in the United States of America, I'm going to tell you where they come from. They don't come just out of some happen. It's not Mother Nature. It's the Lord, God of heaven. And here He uses this as a judgment upon these people that they might see that their wickedness is great. Now, has He cast them away? No. He's about to tell them, though your wickedness is great, don't you turn aside. You follow the Lord. Listen, my wickedness is great today. If I was to be standing before God based on my righteousness, I'd be cast away, and you would too. But the good news is that though our wickedness is great, it doesn't mean we're to understand He's in control, but may that serve us to be on our knees before Him and in love. As a servant of the Lord, I seek to try to live in a way that honors and glorifies Him and praises Him, despite what we haven't done. I'll tell you what the devil will do. He'll say, well, you've messed up so much now, there's no need you trying anymore. You might as well forget it. You just keep messing up. There's no way you can serve the Lord. The Lord says, you belong to me. You're a chosen vessel. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. You have been made accepted in the Beloved. You are supposed to live like it, act like it, talk like it. And it's not right for us to go contrary to what He's called us to be. And He gives us the power and the ability to walk in a way that's pleasing unto Him. But we need to be willing and obedient as He's taught us in His Word. This isn't how you become a child of God. Listen, you didn't have anything to do with that. God made choice of that. I'm glad too. Because if I didn't choose it, I can't lose it. And if I chose it, I could certainly unchoose it. And the fact of the matter is, it's His choice of me that makes me His. Now, because I am His, I want to live more like Him, act more like He would have me to be. Don't you? He has loved me so much, I want to love Him more. I want to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him and honoring to Him. And He said this, I shall send thunder and rain, and that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, and asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. Now understand this, Samuel didn't send it, the Lord sent it. Elijah prayed, but Elijah couldn't cause the rain to come. The Lord answered Elijah's prayer. A faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Lord answered his prayer. I believe the Lord moved him in his heart to pray too, don't you? If I see a man praying, you know why he's praying? God moved him in his heart to pray. Man couldn't pray without the Lord giving him the unction to pray. And he couldn't be heard in heaven without an intercessor sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession. And even Samuel here, as he prayed, would not have been heard if the Lord Jesus Christ had not, in a later time, and the blood of Jesus hadn't flowed from the hinder seat of the former seat and covered this prayer, and that he was able to be heard in heaven because of the blood of Jesus that was going to be shed. Listen, this gets big. That high priest was an eternal high priest. And the sacrifice he offered was a perfect sacrifice. And the blood flowed all the way to the hinder seat of the former seat. And it removed the sin debt of every little saint, every little child of God. And they had access to pray through the precious name of Jesus. And if your prayers are heard today, it'll be the same way Samuel's prayers were heard. And that's through the intercession made by Jesus Christ our Lord. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. They not only got afraid of the Lord, they got afraid of Samuel. And listen, Samuel wasn't anyone to be afraid of, but men do that sometimes. It was the Lord that is to be feared, and it wasn't a slavish fear, I don't believe. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's a respect and a reverence you and I ought to have before God. When we pray to the Lord, we call Him, hallowed be thy name. We're to give Him honor and glory. We're not praying to Him like He's our good buddy. Even though He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Listen, He is God the Father, and we should be as humble little children in reverence and respect to the God of heaven. Not afraid of Him in any way, in a slavish sense, but respectful, reverent to Him. Showing reverence to Him and honor and praise to Him. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for the servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. You see, the Lord showed them that what they had done, because of sun, thunder and rain. I don't know how much rain, how much thunder they got, but it sure got their attention. You know, a little thunder and a little rain will get your attention real quick. And he says, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not. I love that message. Here's the gospel right in the Old Testament. He said, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. Now, he didn't say, don't worry about it. It's okay. He said, no, you've done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord. Listen, though we messed up, let's not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. What kind of heart? A heart that's been made right by the hand of God. We're to serve Him with all our heart. And turn ye not aside, for then shall ye go after vain things. How many times have you and I turned aside and gone after some vain things? You and I probably got a lot of tales we could tell each other about times where we knew what to do and we went the wrong way and went after vain things and it didn't work out. A whole lot of things I've tried to fix, it didn't work out. How about you? Whole lot of things that I thought this is the way to go, but it wasn't seeking the Lord's face and the Lord's counsel, and I went my way. Oh, Gary wants his way a lot of times. I found this out. My way don't work very well. As a matter of fact, it doesn't work at all. The Bible doesn't say for us to go our own way. It says for us to forsake our own selves. We're to deny our own self in our own way. Who is the way? Not me, not you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we submit ourselves, keep our bodies under subjection. The Apostle Paul said it was so important that even when he had preached to others without keeping his body under subjection, he said that I fear I might become a castaway. Even while I preach to others, listen, we're to keep our wants and our old self under subjection. Now, how do we do that? Only through and by the power of God. We have no power to do that other than in the Lord. But when we look to the Lord for that strength, He provides everything that we stand in need of in that way. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Time is gone. And Samuel said in the, let's see, verse 22, and the Lord, for the Lord will not, this is my verse, this isn't my verse, but it seems like my verse tonight. Verse 22. It says, do not go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver.
So many of God's children going after things that can't profit or deliver. Sometimes I'm right with them. And what I want to say tonight is don't turn. Said I've been in wickedness. Well, don't go that way. It's not going to profit, nor is it going to deliver you. It's not going. That's not what you need. What we need is to follow Him. For the Lord will not forsake His people. Isn't that good? The Lord's not going to forsake you. Why? For His great name's sake. Because of you? No, you've been wicked. But God won't forsake you. You know why? Because He won't go against His own name. You belong to Him. He bought and paid for you. He will have you. You are His. And He won't go, for His own name's sake, He will not forsake His people. Because it hath pleased the Lord, get this, to make you His people. Somebody said, why did the Lord choose me? Because He pleased to. Why did the Lord make me His child? Because He pleased to. Why would He have such a wicked individual as I as one of His? Because it pleased Him to do that. And not only did He leave us in that wickedness, He sent His only begotten Son who took that wickedness in His own body, nailed it to the tree of the cross, never to be remembered against us anymore. Jesus did that, that we might be with Him forever in glory. And He will take care of us here in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. It is the truth. And He says, moreover, as for me, and I love this, here's this, now get this. If I'd have been Samuel in my flesh, I'd have said, look, y'all done kicked me to the side. I was a judge of you, been a good judge. You've already told me I didn't do anything wrong. You picked this king that I told you was going to be a mess, and you went and got him and kicked me out. And I'm not even in the place I was in. I'm going to just let y'all go. I'm going out of here. I'm not going to say any more to you. No. You see, this faithful minister, this faithful prophet was called of God. And he was preaching to the people, not because of the people, but because of the Lord who called him. And he says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease him to pray for you. In other words, y'all can go the wrong way, but I'm going to pray for you. Y'all can do the wrong thing, but I'm going to pray for you. Good mamas and daddies do that all the time. I'm going to pray for them. They might be going the wrong way, but I'm going to pray for them. And God forbid I do anything else. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to let loose. Because the Lord didn't let loose of me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for them. And ceasing to pray for you. And I will teach you the good and the right way. He said, I'm not going to say, okay, everything's all right. I'm going to tell you what's good. And I'm going to tell you what's right. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. I want to show you what's good and what's right. God forbid I would do anything but pray for you. And then he says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Isn't that good right here in the Old Testament? For consider how great things he hath done for you. Oh, that verse right there, you could just stay for a long time. I'm not, but you could. And he says, but if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. And they did. And he was. And we'll stop there. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Appreciate your kind attention.
Love you, my brother.